Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the Democrats, it's becoming apparent that this is really all one thing. They continue to buy into the Russia conspiracy theory that Russia rigged our last election somehow, that the last election was illegitimate, and that President Trump is somehow fixing to steal this next election.
That was our U.S. Senator for the great state of Missouri, Josh Hawley. He's been front and center throughout this fake impeachment farce throughout the entire week, and I'm very proud to see. Boy, what a difference a year makes. How blessed we are to not have Claire McCaskill anywhere near a microphone.
Yeah, we don't hear from her that much, even though she's, who's she working for?
She's a commentator on...
For who? Is it MSNBC?
MSNBC? We call it MSDNC. Because that's pretty much what they are. So, there's Josh Hawley there. And he has been front and center talking about... You know, it is true. It's Russia, Russia, Russia. I mean, they just can't get off of it. I mean, it's they're replaying the same old tired reruns. And that's why people have largely... That's the big news of the week, is people are not watching. This should be everyone... If this was serious, if the president was truly in danger of being removed from office, if there was any meat on this little old chicken bone, people would be glued to their televisions and the networks would be carrying it. The networks are starting to like shadow box this thing into a corner, or even more so, some of the major networks, the free networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, they're not carrying this anymore. I guess they'll break in if somebody says something interesting, right. But it's just a rerun at this point. It's a rerun nobody wants to watch.
If you need help falling asleep.
White noise. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Let's get to our next guest. He'll have some opinions on this, and I bet so much more. Bill Pasco joins us now. He is the policy director for the Tea Party Patriots. Bill, good morning. Welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Tim Jones, filling in for Mark today. Thanks for joining us on the big show.
Good morning, Tim. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so Bill, I want to make sure I'm providing. Is the Tea Party Patriots, is your Twitter handle at TP Patriots? Is that the right one? Do I have the right one
that
I'm
is,
looking at?
That is correct.
Oh, great.
That is
okay.
Correct. Tea Party Patriots.
I want to direct people to that Twitter feed because there's a lot of great stuff on here. They are the official grassroots American movement, the Tea Party Patriots. They stand for personal freedom, economic freedom, and a debt-free future. Who wouldn't want that? Well, I guess pretty much anybody up in Congress, because none of them are working on serious issues, right, Bill? And Bill, first thing I want to ask you is, the Democrats promised all these things to the American people going into election 2018, didn't they? And they have done everything but any of those issues. I hope that the American people reward them justly this year at the ballot box.
Well, first I got to comment. You're absolutely right. What a difference a year makes. Claire McCaskill on MSNBC instead of the floor of the Senate is a tremendous improvement, not just for the people of Missouri, but for the people of the United States.
Yeah, Bill, you're right, because she considered herself a national figure, didn't she? And could you imagine, Bill, if Josh Hawley was not there and Claire McCaskill would be in front of a TV camera every single day, the media would be fawning all over her, and we'd have one less vote in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell needs every single one of his senators these days.
That's right. We're going to have a crucial vote next week. So we're going to have another day of testimony or presenting the case by the House managers, the Democrats. Then we're going to get 3 days plus Sunday for the president's defense team to offer his defense. So we're looking maybe Tuesday, maybe Monday, probably Tuesday. We're looking at a vote on whether or not we should have witnesses, and that's coming down to it may be decided by one vote. Right now, it looks like there are three Republican senators who may be open to the possibility of calling additional witnesses, and that's where Claire McCaskill's vote would have made a huge difference. I'm fairly confident that Josh Hawley is not going to vote to extend this thing further, because remember, what they're figuring out now is if they want to have these four witnesses that the Democrats are demanding. Witnesses, by the way, that the Democrats in the House didn't think to call during their procedure in the House. No, they didn't do it in the House, but they expect the Senate to do it. if they try to call these people, you better believe the president is going to assert executive privilege. They're talking about calling the acting White House chief of staff and the former national security advisor. Now, let me tell you, if ever there was a conversation between a president and one of his senior advisors that needed to be protected, that needed to be confidential so that the president could benefit from fully candid advice without the advisor having to worry about the advice he gives showing up on the front page of the New York Times the next day, that's the conversation that the president has with his national security advisor, for goodness sake. So if they were to subpoena, even if you got 51 votes to say, okay, we want to hear from John Bolton. The Democrats are demanding John Bolton, the former national security advisor. We're going to subpoena John Bolton. The moment they do that, the president's lawyers are going to court to say, excuse us, Democrats. That's a confidential conversation. It's got to remain confidential, not just for President Trump, but for every president who will come in the future.
Yes.
The President Trump would have to go to court to try to block that, to protect the institution of the presidency itself. We're not just talking about President Trump trying to protect himself politically. We're talking about protecting the institution of the presidency to make sure that the president can continue to receive confidential advice.
And Bill, that's a key point. And the Democrats either do not understand or want to destroy the Constitution on that issue. I think it's probably more of the latter. Would you explain, Bill, to our audience why asserting executive privilege is not an obstruction of Congress?
Well, because the Supreme Court, going all the way back to our very first presidents, going back to George Washington, the president has had the power to assert executive privilege. And the privilege that we're talking about is the right to have a confidential conversation with advisors. We know that the moment the president's advice to the president shows up in public, the president has been weakened. Because what's going to happen the next time he calls on that advisor is going to say, well, you know, I could give you the full range of options, 3 or 4 or 5 options, Mr. President. But, you know, 2 of them are really tough. And one of them would be actually embarrassing if people found out that we even discussed it. But you need to be aware of it. But because my advice to you has previously been leaked to the public and everybody's found out about it, you know what? I'm going to save us both the trouble. I'm not even going to tell you about this other option. So all of a sudden, the president's advice starts being circumscribed. Mm-hmm. It starts being restricted. That's not a good thing for the presidency. The presidency itself as an institution is so important in our governing system that he needs to be able to count on his advisors to give him the full range of options in front of him without having to worry about it showing up in the newspaper. And that's why presidents of both parties for literally hundreds of years, going back to the founding of our republic, presidents of both parties have regularly asserted this particular privilege against the Congress. And, you know, whether you want to say, oh, it's an Article II power, it's not as important as an Article I power, you know what? Co-equal branches of government. The White House, the executive branch, is a co-equal branch of government with Congress. Congress can say, hey, Mr. President, we'd like you to give us the following documents. And the president can say, well, you can continue to want me to give you those documents, but I need to be able to keep those documents private so that my advisors can know that they can continue to give me advice free and unfettered, not having to worry about whether or not somebody else is going to see that advice.
Excellent.
And the courts have upheld that privilege for more than 100 years.
Excellent. Excellent constitutional and legal analysis. Bill, before I let you go, and folks, we're been talking to Bill Pascoe of the Tea Party Patriots this year. Bill, extremely critical election year. I mean, so much hangs in the balance. What would be your message to our audience or something the Tea Party Patriots are focused on this year? Once we get past this impeachment, the shift show, the sham, once we get past that and start talking about the issues of 2020, what are the Tea Party Patriots going to focus on this year?
Well, we're going to be focusing on what we hope is a successful reelection campaign. Let's stop and think. For 3 years now, earlier this week, we got to January 20th. So we celebrated the 3-year anniversary of the Trump administration. And what we see after 3 years in a White House that has been besieged by its political opponents since the very beginning, where we put up for almost the first 2 years with this fake Russia collusion narrative. And then we heard about obstruction of justice. And now we hear about Ukraine quid pro quo. With with all that going on, nevertheless, the president has been able to give us a tremendously strong economy that continues to be the envy of the world. It's creating jobs left and right. We now have so many job openings in this country that we don't have enough people looking for work to fill all the job openings we have. That's the first time we've ever seen that. We've got record low, historic low unemployment for African Americans, record low unemployment for women, record low unemployment for Hispanic Americans. We've got real wage growth for the first time in 40 years, where wages are outstripping inflation. And we're not just this Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez critique of the economy that, oh, it's working very well for the people at the top, but not so much for the people in the middle or the people at the bottom. The facts say otherwise. So we're going to be working hard to spread that message.
Absolutely. They're
President
selling,
Trump get reelected.
Yep, they're selling snake oil. Bill, we're unfortunately out of time, but thanks for joining us. Great talking to you this morning. Hopefully we get to talk to you as we move through what's going to be a wild and woolly election 2020. Thanks so much, Bill, for all you and the Tea Party Patriots do for us here in America.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon. This is Tim Jones in for Mark Cox. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's 97.1 FM Talk. Lots more straight ahead, including Rasa Kay, Your Money Now, and Senator Bob Onder at 710. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can't overstate how undermining what the Democrats are doing is to our democracy. For them to say that the president didn't legitimately win in 2016 and now to put the argument forward that he's trying to steal an election in 2020. The reality is the Democrats are trying to steal the election from the 63 million voters who elected Donald Trump. And I think Pat Cipollone did show emotion yesterday, like so many of us feel, because we elected Donald Trump and we don't want to see Washington nullify our votes. This is a very frightening time for our country.
It absolutely is. And that was Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel there of the RNC talking about what this is really all about. They've never gotten over, the Democrats haven't, neither has their mouthpieces in liberal media, the election of 2016. And this is all about trying to tip the scales, put their finger on the scales of the 2020 election. They don't care about you, the people, and the voices, the silent majority that rose up and said, we've had enough of the power class. We've had enough of the elitists. We've had enough of the haves versus the have-nots, the powerful versus the powerless. That's what Donald Trump, who is a billionaire, right? But he tapped into that because for whatever reason, he speaks to the common man and woman, the working men and women of this country. And it's become so much more beyond Republican versus Democrat. And that's what Donald Trump really exposed, that over the last many decades, and if you go to Washington, D.C., you will see this in live Technicolor, as I do every time when I walk around there. Yes, beautiful monuments. And I urge everybody, if you haven't been to Washington, D.C., you need to make a trip there because there's so much encapsulated there of our several hundred years of history and the greatness of the men and women that have come before us and the things they've done for us so we can live in the greatest, most free nation on earth. All the Smithsonian museums, all of the monuments, all of the wonderful things up there. But you know what's that's the uplifting part. The depressing part to me is when I walk up and down Constitution Avenue or one of the other avenues around there and I see these monuments to government. And I'm talking about the department of this and the agency of that. The IRS building occupies like three freaking square blocks, okay?
Yeah.
I've had lots of friends who have been who have gone into the Trump administration either through the hiring process or through the political appointment process. Some of them have already come and gone. They've done their duty. They did their year or 2 years. I have a couple that have been there since the beginning. I've got one friend who's been there. He's entering his fourth year in the administration, and the stories he tells me, you would pull your hair out about the inadequacies of government. And yes, these are good people trying to make a difference. But they're being inserted into a system that has been built up over decades with layers and levels of bureaucracy. I had a friend that worked in Interior, Department of Interior, right? So they're responsible for all the federally controlled lands in the country, whether they're federally controlled lands, our park system, whatever. Now, that's wonderful. But you walk into this building and it's a labyrinth. And my friend worked for like one of the sub agencies. And he's like, Tim, do you know how many people work for this sub agency of the Department of Interior? 2,000 people.
Ooh.
For a sub agency of one department of the federal government. That's a problem, right? And so what the Trump administration has been doing, number one, he was apparently the first president in modern history to finish a year in the White House. It was 2019. It was just this last year where there were less regulations on the books than at the beginning of the year. So he's doing things like that. He's combining departments. He's trying to streamline. But he's just one president for one four-year term. And many of these bureaucrats, they make a career out of being up there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they are dedicated to government, not necessarily to you, the people. And so going back to Ronna McDaniel there in the clip, the folks who love government and defend government, and they're on both sides of the aisle. There's a lot of Republicans that make a really good living off of nothing ever getting done in Washington, D.C., and just kind of trying to get to the next election, you know? And there's been an industry built up around it. And what Donald Trump has done is say, no, we're not doing that anymore. The power is vested in you, the people, not in we, the government, or them, the government. And your voices need to be heard again this fall. Hey, we've got Rasa Kay coming up. She's going to give us an update on the markets, wrap up for the week, look to the week ahead, and your money now when we come back. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. Tim Jones in for Mark Cox here at 97.1 FM Talk. Keep it right here. Lots of big shows straight ahead. Happy Friday.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Timmy! Sorry to ruin the mood.
Oh, that one makes me laugh. No, I like that one.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
That's right, yeah. In for Mark Cox this morning. Oh, we're having a good time here. That's right. It's from South Park, I think.
Yes.
My buddies used to do that to me back in the 90s when that was fresh, you know. So they just thought that was the funniest thing. They still do. Some of them still do.
That's good.
Good stuff there. We have had a busy morning here at the Mark Cox Morning Show. Tim Jones in the big chair. Let's get to our next guest and find out about the markets. Rasa Kay joining us this morning. Rasa, good morning.
Good morning, St. Louis. How are you?
We
good.
Are wet and sloppy here. You know, well, we're not, but the weather is.
Well, you sound
speak for yourself.
We get wet. It's Friday night here. Well, it's going to be Friday night, so we got the NHL here in town, Rasa.
Oh, listen, I can't even imagine the chaos. Happy chaos, though.
Yeah, yes, I almost drove into a tent this morning because they had it on right in the middle of a street. a street that I'm usually flying up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, and there's nothing there. And so this morning there was a giant tent in the middle of the street. So
like, what is going on in St. Louis?
Yeah, I was like, there's action here. Yeah, we got
lots
the
of NHL stars.
The skills thing is tonight, right, Denise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Skills competition tomorrow.
Games tomorrow, Rasa.
But
so
lots of other stuff going on, like the Green Day concert beforehand. Yeah,
free
lots of concerts.
Green Day concert.
Yeah, free concerts going on downtown. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Rasa, you better get over here. It's where the party is this weekend.
I am rather envying it, though. I'd rather not be wet and sloppy before I have to be.
Luckily, it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah. No. It's all right. We were supposed to have Snowmageddon again, but it was the temps warmed up, so now it's just, you know, kind of a mess. But it's supposed to clear out of here and be nice for the game tomorrow. So
excellent.
That's good. Well, tell us what's going on with the markets and such.
Oh, there's some interesting stuff for you guys this morning. Okay, so you may have heard about the changes in FICO scoring, okay? Hesitations over the U.S. economy, concerns over consumer debt being at an all-time high might be behind Fair Isaac's adjusting its model to calculate credit worthiness. It's called FICO 10T. It's going to place a greater weight on missed payments starting this summer. Overall, scoring consumers more harshly based on their debt levels and loan payments, but you have a little time to try and get some of that in order if you can. Maybe you heard about the safety features Tinder is adding at the end of the month while on a date. If users feel unsafe or need help, they'll be able to use a new app to discreetly alert emergency services. A St. Louis startup designed those dating app safety features. It's a company called Noonlight, a tech firm started by University of Missouri students. And they landed this partnership with Match Group, which also owns Match, Plenty of Fish, OkCupid, Hinge, and Tinder. So go Mizzou. More repercussions from the 2016 Wells Fargo scandal. Federal regulators have slapped former CEO John Stumpf with a $17.5 million fine and a lifetime ban from the banking industry. Fed's also suing five other Wells Fargo executives for a combined total of $37.5 million for pushing employees to open up fake accounts to meet unrealistic sales goals. Well, the coronavirus outbreak in China is boosting spending on certain items. Safe haven assets like gold and U.S. treasuries are up. Also, face masks. Alibaba says it sold 80 million face masks on its Taobao website Monday and Tuesday alone. And the big concern now is masks disappearing from pharmacies across Hong Kong and officials pleading with stores not to gouge on them. Also selling fast, the video game Plague Incorporated became the number one paid Apple app in China this week. It lets players unleash a pathogen on humanity. Nice. That game also spiked in popularity during the Ebola virus epidemic in 2014. Now, this is a really unusual bit of data. When you leave a Yelp review, you are giving that company all kinds of data points about you, and they crunch this into a yearly benchmark of local economic strength. So this Yelp report finds most local economies nationwide slumped in 2019, down 1.3% from the year before, led by underperformance in restaurant, food, and nightlife categories, as well as brick-and-mortar shopping. But the Yelp Economic Average report also found businesses in states that voted Republican in the 2016 presidential election outpaced the economic growth of businesses in states that voted Democratic. Four out of the top five states with the strongest local economies in the U.S., according to this Yelp study, went for Trump: North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Alaska. With their services sectors and food-related businesses really driving the growth. The five states and districts with the lowest economic growth trended blue: D.C., Illinois, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and California, and primarily led by declines in retail. Well, and if you actually can't find anything to do during the All-Star weekend, you're basic. And it's just as well. We don't have a lot of new movies opening. We've got a comedy action adventure called The Gentleman, a military family drama called The Last Full Measure, and a couple of really horrible horror fantasy sci-fi choices if you like that thing, The Turning, a modern take on Henry James' novella The Turn of the Screw, and A Color Out of Space has Nicolas Cage in a town struck by a meteorite. So go enjoy the hockey fun.
Yeah, Rasa, so, I mean, it's like a thing, right, that movies that come out this time of year are terrible, right?
Well, you know, it's like the hype of the Christmas season movies and stuff.
And do they make terrible movies on purpose? Like, okay, we're going to make a bunch of terrible movies and we're going to release them in January, February just to, like, bridge the gap? Or do they have hopes for these movies and then they realize they suck and so then they release them in January, February? I mean, I think it's the latter.
Okay. It's the latter because, really, until the thing is done and, you know, they've left whatever they could on the cutting room floor, and they still look at the product and say, how's this going to pull? We are not releasing this during nomination season.
Because the one that I had really hyped. So during the Christmas holiday season, we usually go as a family and watch a couple movies because we never go watch movies the rest of the entire year because everybody's too busy, right? There's too many things going on. So we usually go watch. So we did that. So then you see the previews for everything that's coming in January and February, and they all looked really good. There's a couple especially. And the one I was thinking about was the Doolittle movie, Dr. Mm-hmm. Doolittle,
yeah,
yeah. with what's-his-face? Iron Man.
Yeah, it was looking good, huh? Robert Downey Jr.
It looked really good, but my daughters are like big animal fans. They love animals and all that kind of stuff, the animated movies. I said, girls, I think it's probably going to be bad because they're releasing it in January. And it looked really good. Like the trailer.
It's a Burton film, though, isn't it? So it's a little weird.
And so it came out. And it got 18% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, but the audience loved it. It was like in the 70s or something for the audience. So it's probably fun to watch. It's probably visually appealing because of the whole Burton aspect of it. But I guess the story pretty much is just not non-existent.
Well, you know, the next one to watch is how that Sonic the Hedgehog movie turns out, because that's coming out in a month.
Oh, no.
And they've already been like messing with the digital. look of it. Yeah, I know.
Is this Sonic the One, or is this a, like a sequel or something?
I'm not up on my Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I'm afraid
stuff.
I think this may be Sonic 1, but it may not matter.
Have they done that? Have they done the Oscar nominations?
Yeah.
Are those out? I missed that. What's like the big who's the big front runner?
Okay, Scarlett Johansson is nominated for Best Actress and Best
Supporting Actress. Yeah.
Yeah, in two different films.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
Brad Pitt for supporting in that really terrible Quentin Tarantino movie, my opinion.
Yeah, the big hashtag is Oscar so male this year. That's the hashtag this year.
Well, Scarlett Johansson's not a dude.
No, but there were like all these female movies. Like Little Women got nominated in all these categories, but not Greta Gerwig for director.
Oh,
right?
That's weird. So okay. We watched that. I enjoyed it.
Well, there you go.
Well, I like English literature, though, so... You know,
that's American literature, but you go, man.
Well, I was an English literature major. That's what they called it. But yes, we read American literature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get me started. Rasa, you have a great weekend. Thanks so much for the recap. Appreciate it.
Enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, you too. Take care. That was Rasa K with Your Money Now. I was going to tell you something. So I was reading more about this atomic clock thing.
Oh, boy.
And we actually had somebody ping us on Twitter, it was George ping me on Twitter, and he made a really good point. I'll bring it up here real quick before we go to the break here. Gene tagged me on Twitter. He said, yes, the doomsday clock, originally created during the Cold War, marking the closeness to atomic Armageddon. So after the atomic bomb was created and dropped on the Japanese during World War II, people were like, oh, wow, mankind has figured out a way to basically destroy humanity.
Mm.
So a group of scientists got together and were like, we're going to measure the likelihood or probability of absolute Armageddon, and we're going to make this metaphorical, mythical atomic clock. And it's all very subjective, right? So it's all very subjective, but it's like a measurement of like, kind of like the stability of the world, right?
Okay.
And so what Gene points out is, you know, that was probably a legit thing, right? And there was an arms race then, Cold War, Soviets, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, people were pretty concerned. I remember, you know, I grew up in the 80s, you know, with Reagan and the Cold War, and we finally achieved peace through strength. And there's been times where the atomic clock has been moved away from Armageddon. So they've actually added minutes. And that happened after the Reagan-Bush years, where we kind of had an end to the Cold War and a period of peace. They moved it away. They said, okay, we have more time until Armageddon now. Isn't that happy? What Gene points out is now they've added this baloney, basically, about climate change. So you've got these groups of scientists who have bought into this deal that, and look, I'm not going to say that climate change doesn't exist. I believe it exists. It's existed for 4.5 billion years. Ask the dinosaurs about climate change, but none of them were driving around in GMC Yukons and Suburbans, you know? I mean, climate does change. The problem is, can mankind do anything to affect it one way or the other? That's the issue, especially when you have countries like us unilaterally disarming, or our far left wants us to unilaterally disarm, while the Chinese and the Indians are putting, you know, metric tons of crap into the air every single day.
We all have to be on the same page.
Right.
That's the hard...
Because we're on a globe.
Yes.
Going around the sun, you know, third rock from the sun. So, but yeah, that's the atomic clock basically measures how close humanity is to a conjectured, subjective, you know, Armageddon.
This is Armageddon.
And Nancy Pelosi knows all about it. You know what's Armageddon to
her? She has a clock in her house, too.
Yeah. And it's all about impeachment. Impeachment has been Armageddon. Nancy Pelosi did not want to go down that road. I'll explain why on that and so much more when we come back. This is Tim Jones. I'm in for Mark Cox. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. Dr. Bob Onder at 7:10. Rachel Sutherland at 7:35. Lots more on the big show. Keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Democrats in that statement concede that the president has not committed a crime. They think the crime is Donald Trump occupying the Oval Office. I think a fair-minded trial would say, was a crime committed that therefore we need to overrule the people and remove the president? That, to me, is the crux of the matter. And as was made clear by Jerry Nadler this morning, he didn't have a crime that he pointed to.
Yeah, meanwhile, they just scream impeachment. And that's what they've been doing for two or three years. That was Ari Fleischer there making some excellent points. Do you know that this is the first set of impeachment articles in our nation's history? And luckily, folks, this hasn't been a tool of routineness. I'm afraid that the standard the Democrats have set, which is a low one, is now to the point where we could have this as a standard for any president that the opposition party doesn't agree with. That'll just become something we do. And it will therefore be yet another reason for Congress to do nothing up in Washington, D.C. Ari Fleischer there basically saying they didn't accuse the president of a crime. There was nothing detailed about criminality in any of the impeachment articles. I heard this morning as I was driving in, it may have been on the early Fox and Friends First program. They said, you know, there actually is something. There is a crime called obstruction of Congress in the U.S. Code. It has to do with certain specific things. It has elements in it. It has U.S. Code citations. Well, this obstruction of Congress is not that, because they did not cite to that, because then they would have had to have proven one of these elements. They basically just created two ambiguous, amorphous, vague things they don't like about Donald Trump, and they accused him of that and said that there's the impeachable offense. These articles are the first ones in history to not cite to an actual criminal section. Nothing of criminality. None of the enumerated items that you would impeach a president for that are listed, I believe, in Article 2. Or is it Article 1? Anyway, I'll look that up for you. There's a specific amount of it. There's a specific list of enumerated offenses: bribery, treason, high crimes and misdemeanors, that you could have put into these impeachment articles. And those are the things you're supposed to impeach a president for. They didn't list any of those. They didn't cite to anything in the U.S. criminal code. Because, as Ari Fleischer just pointed out in that clip, they're impeaching him because they don't like the fact that he won the 2016 election, and now they're afraid he's going to win 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've all been talking a lot about the Democratic contenders. We haven't talked about that much this morning.
Yeah.
And you know what? Hardly the rest of the country is talking about that. The Democrats have accidentally or intentionally, depending on what side of the coin you're on, I guess, done this to themselves, where we're talking and focusing on an impeachment trial where we already know the ending, instead of the four or five remaining frontrunners, because those people in Iowa and New Hampshire that are trying to get the nomination, they're uninspiring.
Oh, yeah.
The Democrats don't like their own options here. And I guess their point at this point is to drag the beat up, decrepit old Groping Joe across the finish line, because they hope that with his name ID that they can somehow squeak out a victory. Because you can see how you can see now why Nancy Pelosi delayed these articles. It was to drag Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Amy Klobuchar off the campaign trail and put their butts in their seats in their Senate.
And then all you have is ads from Michael Bloomberg saying he's running because basically he just wants to beat Donald Trump. There's nothing else to say.
And he's not over 5%.
That's the platform.
And that doesn't work. And we learned it in the Obama years when we said Obama bad and we didn't have anything good to say.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are learning it now. Senator Bob Onder will talk about Medicaid expansion and so much more when we come back here on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.